Welcome to the Full of Money Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording at 9:26 British Summer Time. Today is July 11th. Well, today was perhaps influenced by the San Ferman Festival in Pamplona, because the bulls were definitely in charge. And perhaps that has much more to do with the performance of the dollar and US Treasury and monetary policy than just about anything else. When we consider what Mr. Bernanke's statement was yesterday, in that he's in favour of maintaining stimulus, well, I guess that's not particularly surprising, considering that he is the orchestrator of the most extraordinary monetary policy in history. But then the question is as to really how we're going to cut the various definitions of what tapering means and the removal of quantitative easing or the extension of quantitative easing. So let's take those three questions. And the extension of quantitative easing. What is the likelihood that the Fed is going to increase its bond buying? I think that is pretty, we can say with at the present moment, with a high degree of certainty, that the Fed is not going to increase the amount of money it is putting into the market on a monthly basis. Then we take tapering. Well, the jobs report, while there are more jobs being created, there are lower paid jobs and mostly part-time work. And the number of people who would prefer to have full-time work and can't find it is uncomfortably high. So when we think about that and we think about what the potential is for tapering to occur, then the Fed is likely to look at a number of different factors. We haven't seen anything yet that says that they're not going to taper on schedule. And that means that instead of adding the same amount of money in every month, they're going to add in less every month with a view to tapering that down so that they stop adding money on a monthly basis to the system and eventually start to allow their massive holdings of treasuries, which have an average duration of approximately 8 years. And the maturity extension program that's been in operation at the Fed for the last year has succeeded in moving the duration of the Fed's holdings from about 5 years out to 8 years. And that also means that the Fed's balance sheet is unlikely to go down in any real meaningful way in the short term. That they may opt to allow some of their shorter dated holdings to simply mature without reinvesting that cash. And that would be one way of removing liquidity from the system. But the fact that they have been extending the maturity of their bond portfolio makes that a less likely scenario. And they might do it in a small way, but they won't be able to do it in a very large way. So that still, despite the vacillation that we've had, and perhaps Mr. Bernanke has overcompensated in his statements. And the market's reaction has really been ebullient. The US dollar was quite weak in here today. The euro was stronger by over a full cent. The British pound stronger by almost 2 cents. Interestingly enough, the Australian dollar, having been as high in early trading as 93 cents, actually closed out the day below 92 cents. So it wasn't really able to sustain a rally in here. And the Canadian dollar, it didn't close at the high of the day, but it was a little bit firmer here by about less than 1 cent. But where we've had some of the biggest moves in currencies has been in Asia. And the Singapore dollar was really quite firm in here today, and there was a corresponding strength in the Singapore stock market. And in India, we saw that the stock market was really quite firm, and it backed and filled throughout the day to finish on the high of the day. And the rupee has strengthened below 60. And considering the fact that the rupee was perhaps the weakest currency in the world, if we are now moving into a position where the dollar's short-term overbought condition is unwound, then the potential for the Indian currency to rally from this deeply oversold level is really quite compelling, and that should be reflected in the in the stock market, but also in foreign-denominated Indian funds. If the US dollar is weakening, then that should be generally positive for particularly emerging markets, where people have really been interested in the last decade in capital and currency appreciation. So in Asia today, it was a generally positive day, and we had upward dynamics, and a considerable number of those indices are coming off of their June lows, having retested them. And provided their respective currencies continue to strengthen in here, then the potential for a short-term unwind of their oversold conditions really has increased substantially. And when we look at what's happening with the government bond complex, well, yields have rallied really very impressively over the last 2 months, and the yield has developed a short-term overbought condition, which is an oversold condition on the prices. And the potential for that now to be unwound has also increased. So what we're seeing is an increase in the risk appetite. And to put that into perspective, when we look at Wall Street, the S&P today was up by 1.36% and 22 points to post a new closing high. And the Dow Jones was stronger by over 1%. And the NASDAQ 100, having found support in the region of its 200-day moving average 3 weeks ago, pushed on to new recovery highs in here as well today. And the Russell 2000, which has been by far the best performing stock market in the US this year, moved on to new high ground and is becoming a little bit overextended in the very short term. Now, we've had such a swift rebound on Wall Street following the largest pullback we've seen since November of last year, that some form of consolidation is becoming likely now. But the question is whether it happens in the region of the high or above the high. And in the absence of a downward dynamic, then momentum is, at least in the short term, very much in evidence. But we have had a rather uncertain environment more generally. And if we do see the S&P pushing on to significant new highs in here, I think that would be reasonably unusual. But in the absence of a downward dynamic, then arguments are one thing and the price action is really the only reality. Now, I've done an extensive review of the autonomies in comment of the day today. I haven't added the charts in because there's 134 different companies, and adding in specific charts for each individual one would be incredibly time-consuming, but of course they're all in the chart library, and I've also added an Excel sheet with, and also highlighting which of them are dividend aristocrats, just to highlight the fact that a considerable number have very long records of increasing their dividends. But from a casual perusal of that list of companies, the vast majority have pulled back to the region of their 200-day moving averages and have been finding support. A very small number have broken below their 200-day moving averages and have failed to find support, whereas an increasing number are breaking out to new all-time highs. And that would suggest that all that we've been looking for was a somewhat larger or somewhat lengthier or consolidation of very powerful gains since last November. And we've seen that in a large number of the autonomies, which really are globally oriented companies. And an increasing number of them are finding support just where they need to. And, for example, Coca-Cola or Kimberly-Clark or Mondelez International are right in the region of their 200-day moving averages. And provided they continue to hold in that area, then their medium-term uptrends will remain consistent. Biogen had this explosive rally and a very sharp pullback and has bounced very impressively indeed. And that is likely to need some time to consolidate. And Johnson & Johnson, having had this very impressive breakout and so far really quite a shallow pullback, has pushed on to test its highs, and I haven't seen it since the close, so it may have moved to a new all-time high, but it is really quite overextended relative to the 200-day moving average in here. So when we're presented with a considerable number of companies that are right in the region of their 200-day moving averages and remain in consistent advances, they represent favorable entry opportunities from a medium-term perspective. And if we are tempted to chase a rally that is becoming progressively more overextended, then position sizes have to be tailored accordingly because of the risk of the drawdown and the potential for mean reversion. Because a mantra at Fuller Money over many years has been that the closest thing to a natural law of physics we have in the markets is mean reversion, and something that becomes progressively more overextended relative to a trend mean is going to pull back towards it. At the moment, it does look like we are going to see some additional bullish activity in stock markets, and as long as the US dollar continues to unwind its overbought condition, that's likely to remain the case. And I think with that, I will leave you for the evening, and I'll wish all the best to all of you.